Time
God bless you.
Army,
Yes,
as God's
I
battle axe, hallelujah. And I
Amen.
thank you for coming on to the training. It is training that does us well when we have to go out there in the field or when He gives us assignments, because He does give us assignments. So, welcome and thank you for answering the call. God blesses you for answering the call. Oh, praise the
Amen.
name of the Lord. Oh,
Amen.
praise God. Okay. So, I think, yeah, okay. So I'm going to go into, I think we are recording. Yes, I'm going to go share my screen, and we're going to go in to righteousness. We would have started righteousness, and we looked at righteous.
You prayed already?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Definitely. Shimona prayed for us. So I'm
Thank you,
just
Shimon.
trying to. Right. Can you see the screen? Just let me know. You can see a screen that says a right relationship with dot, dot,
Yes,
dot,
ma'am.
dot.
Yes,
Oh,
Mr.
good,
Rose.
good. Okay.
Yes, please.
Praise the
Mr.
Lord. Okay. So we're looking and we're continuing with righteousness. And remember on Tuesday, just a really quick recap on Tuesday, we looked at all of these points regarding righteousness, right thinking, right doing, speaking, actions, morals, integrity, etc. And we discussed whether we can do them all on our own. And no, we only have righteousness through the relationship with God. And we also looked at right speaking. And we came up with spiritual abuse, which we had a really good conversation on, and how we use our tongue and what we speak into the lives of others, and knowing that we are veiling women, when we speak with the authority given by Jesus. And as Sister Sabrina has said, as the Lord has said to her and to us, because I mentioned it, Sister Sabrina, to Pauline, who's the GTA head here, she is a really woman who would have started in Barbados back in 2009 or whenever it started. She said that's what the Lord also said to them, as wailing women, when you speak, it will come to pass. So we have to be so very cognizant of our authority in Jesus and make sure that when we speak, it is righteous speaking, and we speak blessings and not curses and join the enemy's camp. So just to reiterate that we can't, it is God who is the source of righteousness. Jeremiah 9, verse 24. But let the one who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, and acknowledges me and honors me as God, and recognizes without any doubt that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight. So our source of righteousness comes from Daddy God. Praise the name of the Lord for that. So when we practice right living, because we're going to be looking at right living, we are in relationship with whom? Are we in relationship with God? Or are we in relationship with our fellow man when we are practicing right living? Okay, so this scripture here speaks about Abraham and his conversation with God. I remember one time reading this, and I said, well, Abraham, they're fresh enough. How he expect that he could speak to God like that? So the portion of scripture reads, what, and this is from the Amplified. What if there were 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? So this was Abraham having a conversation with God and more or less pleading and interceding for the city of Sodom at that time. For a man on earth to speak to the Most High, Holy, Powerful God in that way. We can all agree that Abraham had to have a relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, a comfortable relationship with God, that he could make such bold statements and in some ways some accusations. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the wicked, to kill the righteous with the wicked. So Abraham, in this sense, he had a relationship with God. And we would know that Abraham's faith, when he had to take Isaac upon the mountain, his faith was counted or imputed for righteousness. Because as we had said last time, and I just reiterated a little while ago, we don't have righteousness in and of ourselves. We have righteousness through our Heavenly Father, because the source of our righteousness is God. So the righteousness in living in the way that God wants us to live, in speaking in the way he wants us to speak, in doing the things that he wants us to do, that righteousness is credited to our life's account. Oh, and this evening, everybody, please make sure you have your tablets or your cell phones or your Bibles near at hand, because we have a couple of scriptures that I would want you to read. Okay, so let's look at this relationship. We would have seen this scripture here quoted as well on Tuesday. 2 Corinthians 5, oops, sorry, verse 21. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in right relationship with him by his gracious loving kindness. So the right relationship, which imputes or credits to us righteousness, is through Jesus Christ. As it said, we would be made acceptable by him and placed in a right relationship with him. So on accepting Christ, on living for Christ, on working on yourself to have that relationship with Christ, that is the only way we are placed in right relationship with him. So in looking at righteous living, we see that for righteous living, we must have a right relationship or be in relationship with God, because that is where the source of our righteousness comes from. So can I have a reader, please? Daniel 3:16 to 18. Anyone? But everybody have your tablets and so ready, because we have a lot of a fair amount of scriptures that we would like to refer to this evening. Thank you.
Brandon May is asking you to repeat the first scripture.
You mean the one that I this I one or the one before? The one before?
Yes.
The one before? This yes, one? Ma'am. Okay, sure.
Was it Jeremiah? I have Genesis.
Okay. Okay, hang on, let me go. Let's go back. Here we go. Yes. Is it that one?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I got it. Thank you very much.
Okay, yes. Okay, you're welcome. Okay, so can somebody do this reading for me, please?
Which chapter? Daniel chapter 3?
Oh, yes, 16? yes.
Okay, I will read.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm reading from the New King James Version.
Thanks a lot, yes.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up.
Thank you so much. So this is the story of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and where they were expected to bow down before the image of the king. And they declared to the king who their true relationship was with. Their relationship was with God, and that was a higher relationship than the one that they would have with the king. So they too were credited with righteousness because of their faith in God. And in addition, their demonstration to the king, what they said to the king, and then their actions, that is, they were, you know, thrown into the furnace. Their actions, they kept their faith, and that demonstrated righteous living. And in many cases, as Christians, as people of God, we usually have to do the opposite to what the world is doing. And it makes us look strange, because I'm sure to the people of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, they would never believe that persons would choose to be thrown into the fiery furnace instead of bowing down before the image. So in many cases, our righteous living can come with a price. But then when we demonstrate our righteousness, that is, with whom we have this right relationship, God shows up. He has our back. And he does what is needed to be done. And in many cases, when we do that, it is like lifting the standard of God high, that others may see that there is a God. So those three young Hebrew boys demonstrated their righteousness and their righteous living by their actions. So when we have a relationship with God, there are other things that we could do, but these are just three main points that I want us to dwell on and discuss this evening. We obey the commandments, and not only the commandments that are written in the Bible, but any assignments, anything that God says to do, anything that God has spoken through prophets that we should do, or that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, any commandment or instruction coming from God, we must have a burden for souls, and we should be people who think kingdom, God's kingdom. We can't be insular thinkers. We have to think about kingdom building, kingdom living, kingdom speaking, kingdom government. We have to be thinking in all of those ways. So this is Wailing Women Training. And like last Tuesday, we spoke about the authority given to us as Wailing Women, what God calls us to do as Wailing Women. He has many armies. We're not the only one. But each army has specific assignments and duties that they're supposed to carry out. Now, I looked at the operational handbook, and Wailing Women are expected to be born slaves of the Lord. And this phrase here is taken from page 18. Remember, in this call, it is only the will of God that we must do. So we are not to compromise and bend. with the ways of the world. And we had a really good discussion on that on Tuesday. You know, we have to go to meetings with international agencies. We have to work with persons who are not believers. We might have managers or bosses or supervisors who are quite opposite and behave opposite, in opposite fashion, speak differently than kingdom speaking. So we still have to remember that when we do God's will, He takes care of us and our families. And Jeremiah 7.
Excuse me, June.
Sure.
Go back to the previous slide. You had relationship. Okay.
Yeah, relationship with God. So Jeremiah 7:23, and that says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. This is right there in the word of the Lord. So as willing women, I think you may know, some of you may know, God would give us different assignments, different tasks that we have to go and do. They definitely wouldn't be things that we would have done before. And they certainly wouldn't be things that the world does on a regular basis or something that is carried out by the world. But He says, walk ye in all the ways I have commanded you, that it will be well with you. So as born slaves of the Lord, we are to do the will of God. So let's have a little talk here now. This now, obeying the commandments. So you know when we have a talk, June doesn't talk. So in terms of Jeremiah 7:23, which we have there, and then let us just go back to this previous slide where it says, remember in this call, it is only the will of God that we must do. And remembering that we are talking about righteous living in terms of our relationship with God. What say you about this obedience journey? What say you about being born slaves to God? What say you about obeying not just the commandments, but instructions that you have been given? And what I like is if anybody has any testimonies, if anybody had an instruction that was given that was strange but did it, and you can see the end result, I would like you to please share it this evening, because we're talking about righteous living. Anyone? Because it's time for me to pause here.
June.
Yes, ma'am.
In terms of obeying the commandment, sometimes you don't always obey the commandment, whether it's the Ten Commandments that we're given or the other instructions that we're given from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And sometimes we doubt ourselves.
Definitely.
And we say, I don't know if that's the Lord talking to me.
Correct. Or, yes.
Or out of, we become intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're telling ourselves we are not to that level. How you know that's mm-hmm. the Lord speaking to you?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go and see, so suppose you make a mistake, mm-hmm. and suppose this body do this, and I saying it is not easy,
mm-hmm.
but it is something that we, I don't know if you say get past or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that,
mm-hmm.
okay, I guess when your faith is, you have that passion and your faith and your trust and your everything is in God,
yes,
it becomes easier.
Yes.
Because definitely. At one time I would have been, you could say fearful, mm-hmm, or doubting, mm-hmm, myself.
Mm-hmm.
But right. I realized, and then times after then you realize, you know, that was God speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And then you have to repent because you did not obey God.
Obey the instructions, yes.
Sometimes
yes.
It obey him, but mm-hmm, it be late.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of other things go wrong, don't go mm-hmm according to plan. And then you have to wait and you have to backtrack if it's such a thing. And you have to do a whole set of things now to
try to catch back up.
To catch back up.
Yes.
And right. And I can testify of that because mm-hmm there, the time when you ain't really obeying God. Yes, you want God to do things for me, but you're really obeying him. You're not being that connected to him as you should be.
Yes.
And
yes,
although you know that you should be really connected, you should really be in there with God. It like something be keeping you back and say, but suppose this and suppose that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess as God mm-hmm continue to work on me, then you see that, you know, the things that you would mind and pay attention to, they really ain't nothing.
They're important.
They're not important.
Mm-hmm.
But at that mm-hmm time, for me, they were it saying
big up before
important.
You.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I find myself daily saying, Lord, I'm so sorry for wasting time, for not obeying you, not doing what you want me to do. And sometimes things that come into your spirit. And mm-hmm you say, man, that must be so, you know. And you don't do them. And then another thing, you know, that's like you were saying in terms of righteous talking.
Yes.
Sometimes you know that you really shouldn't be talking or listening to the foolishness that these people talking.
Exactly, the foolish talk that we
speak. The foolish talk. Tuesday. But, yes, you know, if you think they know, you say, they
poor grit.
Yes. They're going to say no, that you feel that you're better than anybody
else. Yes, correct.
I like it because God, when we confess our faults to him, he does not hold it against us.
That's it. That's repentance.
The enemy that reminding us mm-hmm of how we foul up and what we didn't do and what we did and mm-hmm all of that. It is mm-hmm the enemy.
Yeah. So
the obedience, I guess it comes along with your level of faith and so on.
Yeah. Definitely.
God.
Because this is a journey. We are walking closer every day, trying to get closer and closer to God. And as we had said last Tuesday, we're born in sin and we're born in sin and we fall short of the glory of God, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But as you would have said, sometimes you doubt yourself, you mm-hmm know. So if you you would ask God for a spirit of discernment, because some of the instructions in self, they don't make sense. Because as I would have said before, there are things that you never would have done. They're not things that are done generally in the world, that is in everyday life and everyday work, even in everyday church. So these are assignments and instructions that God would have given you. And sometimes they make absolutely no sense. Remember the law, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's why they had to have all of these ritual, they had mm-hmm to have all these sacrifices, because the law was such that every day somebody would have broken some part of the law that you would see in Leviticus and in those books. But we have Jesus, praise God. And like you said so very importantly, when you come to a realization that you have not done, or that you may have ignored, or that you may not have discerned that this was an instruction from God. Thank God for repentance, and thank God for his faithfulness, and that, and for his covenant that he will forgive us. He would forgive us our sins once we repent of these sins.
That is so something, June.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even when we read in Daniel just now.
Yes.
And very often we as Christians, you see, because they were basically saying, with all due respect to you, I am not obeying what you say.
Yeah.
And even if God does not bring us through, we still in doing it.
Exactly.
And
correct.
You know, and often you will hear people say, like in terms of ask persons about serving God and what this is, and how you know that this is true, and how you gonna spend all your time being a Christian, and then you gonna miss out on things. But what else is there?
Yeah.
Even if we get to the end of the line, I'm not saying that God isn't real.
Right.
When we get to the end of the line, and there's something different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We will not have lost out.
That's right.
We will not have lost out.
We will not have.
But persons don't. They don't understand. They don't understand that.
Yeah.
And I guess it comes with a level of commitment.
Of commitment and faith.
How else?
And being connected to God.
Right.
And how you connected today is a bit different from how you connected tomorrow. You know. You're supposed to grow, but sometimes the busyness of life gets in. Remember, everything is in seasons. So you're connected. I mean, let us be real, because let's not be sanctimonious. The level of your connection in the same every day. Let's be really real about that.
Yes.
But thank God we have a loving God, and we have a faithful God.
Us.
Knows us. Jesus was touched with our imperfection, when he was here, when he walked on earth, infirmities. He was touched with our infirmities. Yes. Thanks so much, Sherianne. That is so true. Yes, Sabrina, go ahead.
I wanted to concur with Sherianne that definitely your level of faith, the commitment, and it's a journey over time.
Yes. Yes.
Because I have had several experiences, but the one I think he wants me to share now is as a very young Christian coming back home from the university. I had had experiences, but this whole thing of how do you know that this is God speaking. Really speaking to you?
Yes.
So I had invited a friend from Jamaica to come home with me, and she had a beautiful singing voice. We were invited by a young friend to come to his church for a youth meeting. And so we went, and, you know, as the service progressed, they asked for testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
So I was nudging my friend in the side and saying, man, sing a song. You know, you could sing a song. Mm-hmm. And so she got up and she was singing. And then the thought came to me, well, you know, if the Lord was to come right now, what are you going to tell him that you have done for him?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, Lord, you didn't give me a voice like hers, so I can't sing. And what came to me was, in that same hour, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. So I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood up, and another young lady stood up at the same time. I don't know what she said, because I knew if I sat back down, I wasn't going to get back up again.
Mm-hmm.
So when she was finished, and I felt led to say this one because of something Sister just said, she said, God is real. And that was my experience. That was what I began with. My God is real. I'd say it three times. I sounded like a scotch record. But that was the reality. I had come to know that God was real. And afterwards, I preached my first sermon in that church. Because the more my voice became stronger and louder, the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. I say that because I was talking about things I had absolutely no knowledge of.
All right.
I just came from university. I didn't know nothing about mortgage. I didn't even know what it was. I just said what he told me to say.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, y'all focus is on these material things, your car, your house. And I preached until I was weeping so much. That was what stopped me. And immediately, of course, I kind of looked around and, you know, it was a youth meeting. And I was embarrassed because I didn't have any tissue, any hanky. And eventually I had to say, God, why you always put me in this kind of a situation? You know, and I didn't know why I would be weeping. And so I looked around and thank God for the pastor. He knew what was happening because I surely didn't, sisters. And he said, look, the Lord is talking to you all and I am going to give an altar call. And shortly thereafter, so it changed the total trajectory of what was going to happen in that
meeting.
Right. And then, you know, it impacted my aunt and two of my cousins who I had taken along with me. Because when my aunt got home, she said to my grandmother, she is a real Christian, you know. Okay. Now that meant something because I'm coming from a Catholic background. My grandmother is Methodist and that auntie was Anglican. So to her, I guess because the Lord spoke, she said, this is genuine. And because of that, then, I mean, they used to come to me before in terms of being the peacemaker, even as a child, the adults. But now they began to look to me in terms of praying.
You know? Yes.
And when you open yourself up to him, he will use you. And I was trying to escape because when I looked around, there was a young man there. The enemy immediately said, look at how you're making such a fool of yourself. Okay. So I was trying to escape out the back gate. And this guy intercepted me and he said, where you going? Because he had a friend from the US. He said, this guy wants to meet you because he said he has never heard anybody talk like this before. And I said, okay, Lord, you know. And that's just how it began. And then in 95, it was another encounter that would take me on a journey, but it was a step by step. You do the first thing the Lord says, then show you the
second step, and
so forth. You know? So yeah,
definitely.
So, one of the things I wanted to say was when I on that second journey, I wasn't sure. So what I did was I turned my plate down and I fasted because I said, God, I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is you because of what he was asking of me. And at the end of the 7-day fast, I got my answer because he answered me and said, get in touch with X, Y, and Z. And then I just took it from there step by step by step. And because of that, when I think that I may falter, I always remember that because at that time I told him nothing less than your perfect will for my life.
Because we're to obey his will. Yes, yes. Definitely.
And because of that, I have learned to try and be obedient immediately. Also, I think it's a part of the scripture that says, you know, if you've been called to do this and you don't, then especially us as watchmen, it's going to be
on our hands. It's on our hands.
So that gives me great motivation.
Thank you so very much. And something you said there, that's why, like, when we talk, you know, like, sometimes you would be wondering, is this instruction really from God or is it the enemy? Come on. That happens. We are not so holier than thou that sometimes we have to wonder that. And like you said, Sabrina, then we can go into a fast because God said fast and prayer. When you fast and pray, he would give you the answer. Because as I'm saying again, some of these instructions would seem weird. Some of these instructions would seem out of the way. Some of these instructions, sometimes you would think you don't have the resources with which to carry out the instruction or the assignment. And you wonder. I have a friend who has a prophetic gift, and she always worries. I don't know if this word is worries, but obviously as a human being, she says, is it truly from God? She doesn't want to prophesy something that's not from God, you know? So these are steps that we go through. These are feelings and emotions we would have, but God knows our heart. He knows our sincerest thoughts. He knows why, as we seek him, not just daily, hourly, and by the minute and by the second. So he knows our heart. Okay, so going on to the next slide here now, another declaration that comes from the operational handbook, and this is on page 15. Wailing women, we are the unique oil of solution, prophetic wombs, and co-laborers with God. Every wailing woman, by divine providence, is a co-laborer with God in the process of replenishing and populating the earth. We are the oil of solution. We have prophetic wombs. We birth into being what God wants established on his earth, and we are co-laborers with God. So let's look at the other two points that would have been on the slide with our relationship with God: a burden for souls and kingdom thinking. Now, if we are to populate the earth, we are not to populate the earth with those from the kingdom of darkness. We have to populate the earth with God's people. So we have to go out there and we have to share the word of God and think about eternal life, life in eternity. We also have to not think insularly. We have to think about God's kingdom. We can't just think about our little home church or even just the believers in our nation. We have to think about the region, and we have to think about the world, because we are an end time army for the nations with an S. So we have to think about the world. So anybody, please take your mic. Anybody want to touch on kingdom thinking? That is through our relationship with God. How should we be thinking for the kingdom? Building up of the kingdom, bringing in the harvest in the kingdom. I'd like somebody else to take the mic and share there, please. Because we all have a relationship with God. So how should we be working? How should we be existing? How should we be living as kingdom thinkers? Hi, Ivy and Malika. I didn't see you. Come on. Welcome. Welcome, Pamela. Welcome, Ramona.
Thank you.
For kingdom thinking, the first thing we need to think and fully understand, especially in the body of Christ, is that number one, we are in the kingdom. There is one king, and only one king rules supreme at a time in his kingdom. Number two, we are subject. So we supposed to obey the rules, the law, and the commandment of the kingdom. Even though we are subjects, we may have territorial powers in some areas, it does not nullify our commitment and mandate of the king. And I say that to say this because I feel as Christians, even though we have so many different little arms, different little denominations,
mm-hmm.
I feel a lot of times we allow our denominational barriers,
correct,
to distract the plan and the purpose,
from the bigger purpose
of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that that's why we live so many times so much defeated life, and we don't see the manifestation of the kingdom of God in us and among us.
That's right.
Because mm-hmm. we allow our religious belief system,
yep, and
to
barrier.
Supersede our
yes.
kingdom.
Yes, yes.
Belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about anybody else. It's frustrating for me. It's really frustrating. I'm an Anglican. I could identify with Paul.
Yep. Yep.
And because my religion has some rules and regulations, you know, to me,
mm-hmm.
you put the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Far as kingdom is concerned,
mm-hmm.
we believe in a lot of signs and symbol, outward signs that's supposed to have inward
grace.
But we, mm-hmm. we focus more on the outward sign
mm-hmm.
for us, so many of us, than allowing that outward sign to truly do what it's supposed to do inwardly. So when I say that, I'm not just speaking out of my head, because
mm-hmm.
I have to deal with it every day of my life. And a lot of time it costs me to get persecuted. It costs me to be laughed at. It costs so many things. But like Paul said, I'm fully persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let anything separate me. God has placed me as an arm of his kingdom in this denomination
mm-hmm.
for the wine, time, purpose, and call. And I must know that, and I must carry out the will of my Father. Now, if I'm carrying out my Father's will and it ruffles your religious feather, then I'm not going to make any apology nor excuse for it. And I feel that's why I feel so many of us allow the religious part of us to supersede our kingdom, because we then say, like, I think that was, I don't remember, Sherri-Ann. But did I really, is that really God speaking to me? Or?
Right, yeah.
But we must, as kingdom-minded people, be fully persuaded of who we are, whose we are,
mm-hmm.
and what legal authority he has given us in his kingdom.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And until we come to that fully persuasion, then we cannot fully carry out our kingdom mind, our mandate.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Brenda Lee. That is so very true, because I remember I heard a preacher say, God don't have no denominations. It is man that set up denominations. And when we think only denominations, that is small-minded thinking. As God's people, we have to start to get the mind of Christ, where he is thinking of the kingdom, where you are bringing in the sheaves, where you are spreading the gospel message to all asunder, you know, where you have to have this burden for souls, souls who will come into the kingdom. God says that he wouldn't have that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's how we have to think. But when you keep thinking, okay, Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, Church of God, New Testament, Reformation, you refuse to think outside of your four walls. You refuse, and that's not how God thinks. Through Jesus, God opened his kingdom for everyone, and that's how we have to start to think. Yes, we may be placed in a particular congregation for such a time as this. We may be placed there for a purpose, but we still have to think with the mind of Christ. That is, think about the building up of God's kingdom. And if we want to build up God's kingdom, we have to have a burden for souls. If we don't have a burden for souls, I would like to posit that we are selfish, because we have come to Christ because somebody prayed for us. Somebody told us, somebody got behind us. You know, there was somebody there that we could have leaned on in a more physical and spiritual fashion. So then after we have gone through that gate, out of the world and on the journey into the kingdom, you mean to tell me we're going to leave everybody outside? No, it should hurt us. We should, as we are really with me, we should be crying out. Tears should be gushing for the children that are in the streets that don't know Christ, we call them on the block, for the men on the block who don't understand the purpose, that they are priests in the home, that they are the head of households, that God gave them a particular mandate and purpose for his pattern of the family. We should be cringing and feeling so bad that we haven't reached out to the young mothers or the single mothers or those who don't know Christ. Those who just don't know Christ. Because we have to think about the building up of God's kingdom. The previous slide said, we are co-laborers with God. God has declared that we are to labor with him. Yes, we are subject to the king, but he has given us that authority to speak things into being. He has given us the authority that we can bind and we can loose and we can rebuke and we can declare and we can decree and we can speak to the weather and all those types of things. And we are not thinking about bringing others into his kingdom. If we're not thinking about that, we need to certainly check ourselves about what type of living we're doing. Is it really righteous living? Okay, so let's go on then. And I need somebody, please, to read for me Genesis 39, verses 7 to 10. Anybody can take it up and read it, please. Genesis 39. Thank you so much.
39?
Yes, please.
7 to 10.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and it reads, and it came to pass after these things that this master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
It came to pass, as he spake to Joseph, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her.
Right. Thanks a million.
You're
welcome. Thanks a million. Right. This is the story about Joseph. And God said, how could he sin? And he said, how could he sin against God? So he had a relationship with God. But in addition to the relationship with God, there was a relationship with his master. There was a relationship with his master that his master entrusted all the household bills, the working of the house, the operation of his business. He hath committed all that he hath into my hand. So there has to be some relationship and trust there between Joseph and the master at that time, that the master, who was Egyptian, would have committed to Joseph, who would have been a slave, all in his house. So this then is a relationship with your fellow man. So in righteous living, in addition to having a relationship with God, you have your relationship with your fellow man. And in having your relationship with your fellow man, in your righteous living, and as an example of your righteous living, I just chose these three things. There are others. Feed the hungry, avoid partiality, and forgiveness. This is your right. These are three things in your righteous living, in your relationship with your fellow man. So, can somebody please read for me James chapter 2, verses 1 to 6? James chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, please. Anyone, go ahead.
Okay. James chapter 2, 1 through 6.
Yes, James chapter 2, 1 to 6.
Yes. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile apparel, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that loved him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats?
Thank you so much, Ivy. Thank you very much for reading that for me. So we are going to be looking at avoiding partiality. This is in your relationship with your fellow man. And unfortunately, partiality is so practiced in the body of Christ, within certain congregations, within certain denominations. This person always sits here. This person is on the council for 10 and 12 years. This family is held up in high esteem. And unfortunately, people don't know how this partiality leads to exclusion, especially exclusion of those who are now seeking Christ. This showing favor to certain groups consistently and certain people consistently. And I'm not even talking necessarily about the pastor or the reverend, but there's certain people who think that they have exclusive rights to certain positions, certain seats, certain ministries in the church, always and only. And it breeds an air of you're not welcome to those who are new. It can be very difficult for persons who are coming in, who are looking on, who are seeking, who are searching, who are looking for persons to embrace them and welcome them. And I remember Paul had to tell off James. And in this scripture here where it says, but certain men came from James. He had to tell off Peter, sorry. He used, before certain men came from James, and he's talking about Peter, he used to eat his meals with the Gentiles. But when the men from Jerusalem arrived, he began to withdraw and separate himself from the Gentile believers because he was afraid of those from the circumcision. The rest of Jews joined him in this hypocrisy. So you see what this partiality is? Hypocrisy. Ignoring their knowledge that Jewish and Gentile Christians were united under the one covenant, into the one faith. Unfortunately, in so many, even Christian organizations, Christian churches, the body of Christ, they have this formation of cliques. Formation of cliques say to others, you are on the outside, we don't want you. And that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to for all who have life, and he would give it to them abundantly. And he came and opened, he ripped the veil that we who were Gentiles, we too could come into the body of Christ. So in your relationship with your fellow man, oh, please remember, please check yourselves that you are not behaving in a ways that would seem to exclude others. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about those who are from the who align themselves with the powers of darkness and that type of thing. I'm talking about those who might be seeking, those who might be searching, those who don't know, the young in Christ. Do not let your behavior be a stumbling block to those who are young in Christ or those who are newly on this Christian journey. Anybody wants to say anything about this partiality business, which sometimes persons don't even know that they're doing it? But as wailing women, we truly have to check ourselves with this. Anybody wants to, or can anybody say or give experiences, give testimonies, Shimona or Ramona or Pamela, where there was where there was partiality being shown in the body of Christ?
Okay, sister, I keep on saying Sister Ruth, sorry about that.
That's fine, Shimona.
Yes, Sister June, even as you were speaking, and even in church, the experience in showing partiality, what I realize is sometimes, you know, as leaders, mm-hmm. as you were saying before, I noticed that persons were, that has the ability, well, everybody has ability, God gave everybody ability.
Everybody. Yes.
But then I realized that you find some persons maybe were before, there before, or they can, the leader sometimes mostly would use mm-hmm. like to pray or to do worship leading or whatever. And others now that is coming in is staying just on the bench.
Yes.
You know? And yes. I believe to this has the partiality part as well, because mm-hmm. I believe everybody that comes in into the kingdom, everybody, every soul, mm-hmm. there's a way that God can use them. There's a potential in them. And it takes us that are there, already there, you know, to help them. Because I would say they are babies. Now, the moment that I notice, even in our church, it used to happen, but, you know, as most of the times, God will enlighten me a bit. For example, one of the things I realize is that even when John the Baptist came, he came to make the way. And then Jesus came, John the Baptist. And then Jesus called, he brought in the disciples. He made the disciples. And then he's not on earth anymore, but he's in heaven sitting at the right hand of his Father. Mm-hmm. So even so, where is Paul and Peter and these people? They are not there, but we are reading about them, and thank God.
Yes.
So this is the very same way that, and Jesus didn't, when Jesus came, he did not go, you know, into the palace or whatever. He chose the disciples by the wayside, by the seaside, and so forth. Mm-hmm. When those persons come in, and as you said a while ago, you said sometimes we don't even realize or we don't even know that yes, we show partiality. Mm-hmm. And it happens right in the churches.
Yes.
Because when you are big, sometimes some persons comes in and it's like there are persons I realize, boy, God has, God just give them with certain things. And even if they could come like 1 month, but you could actually see the give them when they open their mouth, maybe to sing or to, you know, exalt. You could actually see that, boy, God actually give that person is gifted.
Mm-hmm.
But there are persons that you definitely have to help them. You don't leave them on the bench. And
No, you don't.
They might not be able to pray as we that are there, but you give them the opportunity. You help them to boost up their self-confidence in Christ, their faith, and so on. So to show them that, yeah, God is our God, and he's able to do in you what he has done in us. So right in church, I realized that these things do happen, that we choose partiality. Because at one time, I noticed how much that God himself, even as it was at the beginning, God himself, that's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. I noticed at the beginning, yes, one time as I served as the ladies president, and then again I serve as, you know, the worship coordinator and stuff like that. But having a relationship with God, most of the times God would actually minister to me when people comes in and minister. When I would pray for people, and God would minister to me and tell me certain things about certain persons.
Uh-huh.
And what he would always lead me to go and tell the pastor, you know. And it was kind of, as my sister saying, it was a bit difficult, but I did obey. Because what I realized, every time I obey God, the burden is uplifted off me. But every time I disobey, you don't feel happy.
You don't feel happy, no. Yes, yes.
The Lord actually began ministering to me through the Holy Spirit. Releasing, you know, he's taking you to do other things, but you bring up persons that you train them. Because right now I'm not ladies president anymore.
Right.
I am there mentoring the person now that is in charge of the team. I'm there mentoring and helping and see that things go on. But so I am, and now it really blesses my heart to just see how God is using them. You understand?
Yes.
It's not just one set of person alone.
To do everything, right?
Right. So there's a lot of partiality there.
Right, because if we think in kingdom, we have different levels, different rules, different occupations, different things that God has to be done in his kingdom. Everybody's not a prophet. Everybody's not an evangelist. Right. Everybody's not an apostle. Everybody's not a teacher. True. Everybody's not a pastor.
Not so.
But you have to give, how will you know the gifts that God has imparted in people if you don't give them the opportunity to show forth these gifts? And a lot of persons, especially, I don't know, they have this thing about your family and where you went to school and all that sort of foolishness that creeping into churches. And put in certain people always in particular roles and not giving others, you know, the opportunity. So this exclusiveness, this exclusion type behavior, we have to be very, very cognizant that we don't play into it and we don't do it. And when we see it, we are to call it out. When we see it, we're to call it out, because it's a stumbling block in the way of young Christians. Thank you so much, Shimona.
You're welcome.
Thanks
you're
a million, welcome. My dear.
Yeah,
okay, welcome. The next one. Let's see the next slide. Can somebody do this one for me? James 2, verses 15 to 16. Just one verse. So James 2, please. Somebody can read that for me.
I'll read it.
Thank you.
Yes, 15.
That's Ramona?
Yes.
Okay, right, yeah. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Ramona.
I say faith and deeds. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food.
Mm-hmm.
If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?
Yes, what good is it? So this is faith without works is dead. So there's some persons who I will pray for you. Go away, I will pray for you. I will pray that God will bless you, but have the means by which to bless that person in the season that they are right now and would still refuse to do it. So we are to feed the hungry. Colossians 3 verse 6 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. God is a merciful God. We are supposed to be working. We are supposed to be living this righteous relationship with God. God, who is the source of our righteousness. Where is the mercy? Where is the kindness? Where is the long suffering? Where is the meekness? Where is the humbleness? When you see someone hungry, and there are two types of hunger. There's physical hunger and there's spiritual hunger. And we as well, and we may have to be very cognizant of that as well. Okay, the physical hunger. What sense does it make saying to someone who is hungry or whose bills aren't paid or who's going to be homeless, oh, I will pray for you. Yes, you can pray for them. But God says you're also supposed to give and give and it will be blessed by unto you, pressed down, shaken down together in your bosom. You are to give. Now that person will say, oh, they're gonna pray for me, and if they're looking for, they may not be followers of Christ, but they're hearing you're gonna pray for them and they're looking and expecting to see the manifestation of these prayers, and then when it doesn't manifest, then they obviously are turned away from the way of God. You know, and then we have to look at feeding the hungry spiritually as well. Those who are seeking, how are we uplifting them? What words are we speaking to them? I'm not anywhere saying go preach to these people and get them all the gospel readings, because even when we were young Christians, we didn't understand half of what was being said through the Bible. We didn't get the revelation. But in feeding the hungry spiritually by our very actions, by our righteous living, how we treat them, how we interact with them, how we communicate with them. Remember, as veiling women, we are co-laborers with God. We are supposed to be the oil of solution. So the hungry in this instance is not just somebody who belly burning. Those who are hungry for love. Those who are hungry for God. Those who are hungry for warmth. You know, those who are hungry for knowledge. So it's hungry in all of those situations and circumstances. We are nation builders. We are rebuilders of the old waste places. Those who have backslidden, how are we helping them? How are we feeding their hunger to return to their first love, you know? So we have to look both at the spiritual and the physical hunger. We have to look at hunger in all kinds of lack. Look at hunger from the position of lack. What is the person lacking that is a distraction or is an obstacle or is stopping them or hindering them in their walk with God? Even your sister in Christ, at some point in time, they may be going through an attack of the enemy. They will be lacking like Aaron and to hold up the hands of Moses, even to pray for your pastors or encourage your pastors, because then their families will always be under attack. you know, they would be lacking that spiritual encouragement, that spiritual shoring up, that spiritual holding up of their hands. So when it says feed the hungry in your righteous living, identify areas of lack and see where you, through God, can you know, fill that hunger, address that hunger in Jesus' name. Okay, so still going on with righteous living. Can someone look at Colossians 3 verse 13 for me, please? Colossians 3 verse 13.
I will read.
Thank you.
Colossians 3:13, it says,
yes, yes.
Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference a grievance, a complaint against another, mm-hmm. readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive.
Thanks so much, Pamela. So then we come to the third one, which is forgiveness. And even in the body of Christ, let's be real, as the young people say, let's be real. This is hard to do. Why? Because we are human. As God so forgave us, so we should forgive others. And sometimes it don't necessarily be a big thing that somebody would have done us. It's like the enemy is so cunning. And he likes to bring these little annoying. It could be a trait. It could be talk that keeps chipping away at our armor. And every time that happens, we have to forgive. Because even today, I can say, I'm supposed to be on vacation. I went into work already for this week and I have to go tomorrow. So today was a day that I was at home. And honestly, the principal called me 3 times for the day. And I'm supposed to be at home. And on the 4th time, I happened to be on one line. So she called on another. And I happened to be talking to a sister. And I blew up. Because I'm on vacation. Give me a break, you know? And the sister had to calm me down and say, listen, no, that is not the way to do it. And she prayed with me. She had to pray with me because I was vexed. I went into work when I'm supposed to be on vacation and I got to go again tomorrow. And what are you calling me for? That type of thing, you know? So I had to repent. And then I had to ask God to deal with my forgiveness, because obviously when you get angry, you know, your mind gonna start to replay everything that happened before, last week, last month, last year. So forgiveness is something that, yes, we know we're supposed to do, but it is one of the most difficult things in certain circumstances and in certain situations. Forgiveness is something that I suppose is easier done on reflection. But as veiling women, we will be placed in situations where we will have to forgive instantly if we want to be able to carry on the mandate or the assignment that is given. Jesus says, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That is a big number that you're supposed to forgive when someone does aught against you. Okay, so anybody want to take up this? Forgiveness, yes, Sabrina. Forgiveness is ongoing. And forgiveness is something that happens every day. Sabrina, would you like to take the mic and speak more about the ongoing of forgiveness?
I was really just chuckling as you were sharing, because I totally know what you're saying. And I remembered when I was trying to run away, from an assignment when we were called to, we were on one of those prayer platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, being so appalled when the gentleman said, you know, and this forgiveness, this repentance starts with you. So before you even say you're coming here to pray, you have to ask for forgiveness. And I had to say in front of everybody, I was so conscious. I said, Lord, I have to repent for trying to play the Jonah and
running away. Oh, and my goodness. Yeah. Realized
for me, as the Spirit brings them back, because you think you have forgiven, and then He may remind you, well, you know, you maybe didn't forgive this one. So for me, as He brings stuff up, because sometimes we have repressed it and pushed it down so far that we think we have forgotten, and He reminds
that's it.
Then I bring it up, and I've come to enjoy and really love reconciliation and repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why I said it's ongoing.
Yes.
He will keep bringing something to you because you want to be purified. You want your prayers to be accepted, and you know, He said no spot or wrinkle. So there's so much work to do. As I said, when you put up that first listing on Tuesday, I was like, you know. So it's ongoing. So I just want to encourage you, sisters. We need to repent because there is a lightness, you know. And sometimes, like you said, we may not even be aware of this whole thing of the partiality, you know, and we may not even realize that we may be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that awareness comes, then we need to repent. And that's why I said it's ongoing.
It's ongoing.
Not for y'all, but it's certainly ongoing for me.
Yeah, and it's an everyday thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and the little things, you know, because I remember being in a situation where the supervisor said to me, I had to say to her, I don't make it a habit of lying, and she said, not even a little white lie. I said, it doesn't matter the color of the lie; it's still the lie. You know,
That's and so true.
As you said, when you mentioned about the partiality, I was happy when you said, if we see it, we need to call speak it out. With. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the, you know what is a big rock? Asking for forgiveness. We can say within ourselves, oh, I forgive this person, and in my heart, I ain't got them. But if you know you have done something and you've recognized it, yes, you're going to repent. But then the next big hurdle, like Mount Everest, is to ask the person, please forgive me. That is a big rock. And we all Caribbean people, so we know what we mean by big rock, you know? So that is something, you see, God, it's cleaning us up. He can't use unclean vessels for His assignments. And in these end times, He's going to have some very, very serious assignments where He has to be taken back. He has to take back mountains. He has to take back nations. He has to take back peoples, you know, that the enemy may have infiltrated. And He cannot send in persons that the enemy can say, you're sending in. Really? So all of these things are to help clean us up, where we have to forgive and we also have to seek forgiveness after we've repented. Yes, we know that God will forgive us, but we still have, it is an obligation that you have to ask others to forgive you.
And that it's very difficult too for us to forgive ourselves.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, that's true. When we don't forgive ourselves, even that means we don't forgive ourselves when we don't believe that God has forgiven us. So that's where the doubt comes in. You know, that is a very interesting point there. Forgiving ourselves. Okay, let's see. Right. So just here, we're coming near to the end. We have some words that deal with righteous living, we would have looked at our relationship with God. And in our relationship with God, we would look at kingdom, living, burden for souls, you know. And in our relationship with man, we looked at avoiding partiality and forgiveness. But here then are some words that come along or come alongside of us. But these come as we continue our journey, our Christian journey, and as we draw closer to God, and as God, being the potter, breaks us, makes us, molds us, breaks us, remolds us again and again, then these words are all associated with righteous living. Integrity, sincerity, unity. If you have partiality, you can't have any unity. Morality, honesty. All of those are words associated with righteous living. Now, God says he's the source of righteousness. And as we seek to do his will, because in doing his will, we would grow more to be righteous speakers and righteous livers. So persons who live righteously. So the benefits of righteousness. In Proverbs 13:34, it says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to every man. Righteousness delivereth from death. That is found in Proverbs. Proverbs 10 and verse 2. Where it says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. In Proverbs 14, verse 9, it speaks about how there is favor among the righteous. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. And that favor comes from the source of our righteousness. So we have the favor of God. Then righteousness also, it establishes. That is, righteousness gives you a foundation, and a good foundation at that. So in Proverbs 10:25, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. So in righteous living, you are established by God. And the last one shows the blessedness that comes after righteousness, the provision that comes with righteous living, or living right with God, or having that right relationship with God. In Matthew 5 verse 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So these are promises of God that shows when you live when you follow the paths of righteousness, or when you live and speak righteously, it exalts your nation, it delivereth from death, you have favor, you have an everlasting established foundation, and God's provision in Jesus' name. So let me stop sharing. Here we go. Right. So that is my presentation for this evening. I'm so glad that all of you are here. I see something in the chat. Oh, yes. Okay. Brenda May has another meeting. Okay. So thank you all for joining this evening, coming together, coming and sharing in this training on righteousness. I am sure this is being recorded, and as far as I know, all of the training is to be placed on the Caribbean website. I hope many of you have already gone onto the website and seen Wailing Women Caribbean website. So all of the training, and it would be as a video, I think it would be the video and the audio that you would see, as well as the PowerPoint, so that it is always readily available. So Ivy, can I ask you to close us off in prayer? And Sabrina, can you dust us off?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Ivy.
Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for allowing us this privilege just another time to come into your presence. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing your word. And we pray, God, that as we sat and listened and as we receive your word into our hearts, we thank you for the facilitator, Sister June, who so graciously made herself available. We thank you, Lord God, for the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of your word that you impart to her, Lord God, that she so graciously impart unto us. And Father, as we receive your word, O God, of how to live a righteous living with integrity, we want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that even for those who have testified of, Lord God, your goodness in their lives and how they, oh God, exemplified these integrity in living before you and before those that we would come in contact with from day to day. I give you thanks and praise, oh Lord God, and I honor you, for we know that you're a God who is all sufficient, and Father, you are all knowing. And so we bless your name this evening, and we pray, God, that as we hear your word, that your word will continue to do the effectual work within our hearts and in our lives, that we be not just hearers of your word, but Father God, we allow your word, O Lord God, to be a part of our lives, that we will practice your word from day to day. And Father God, that as we go into the community, as we go into our homes, on our jobs, that Father, men may see you living in us. They would know, God, that we have been with you. And we pray, Lord God, that you would keep us, sustain us in this hour, Father, as we go through our daily life's journey. We pray, God, that you will continue to keep us connected as we leave this Zoom platform for the rest of this year. We pray, God, that you would keep us, lead us, guide us, and protect us. Help us, Lord, to continue to have that zeal, to continue to study your word, even though we are not together in on Zoom. But Father, we know that our spirit man are always connected. And so we thank you for it this evening. We give you praise. We pray for strength on the inner man for all of us as we continue to study your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. And thank you so much, Ivy. And just before Sabrina dusts us off, remember we are going on break today, from this today, and we are back on the 12th of January with Sister Nicole, who's going to be looking at discipline. So we're starting back the 12th of January, and I ask you to encourage your fellow Wailing Women, you know, to come and join the platform and come and receive the training, because God has a lot of work for each and every one of us to do. But as we are an army, just like the worldly armies, you don't send a soldier into battle without training and without knowing tactics and without knowing strategy. So the training is really, really important. So thank you again, my sisters, for those who have been on, who've done the training from October, when we started in October, right down to now. I wish all of you a blessed Christmas season, where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If he wasn't born, there would be no Calvary. So thank you, my sisters. Okay, Sabrina, you can go ahead.
Okay, Father, we dust ourselves and all of ours from the smoke and dust of war. We cut off every trailing and monitoring demon. We erase our fingerprints, footprints, scent, voice, physically and digitally from being used against us and our families. We declare, Father, that there shall be no backlash, no boomerang, and no reprisals of this battle. Father God, we declare finally that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Amen.
Amen and amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank amen. You that we could be here this evening. And I amen. Pray that we would remember and you know, internalize all of these things, you know, that it would be in our spirits, because we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Our battle is on the spiritual realm. So in Jesus. So have an excellent evening. Excellent rest of the year, and look forward to seeing all of you when we return to training in January. So have a great
thank
evening.
Thank you, well. And the same to you and all
thank
the
you,
other
Sherry.
Yes, women.
Yes, all the other women. Oh, and I am speaking into being that we will all be at Caribbean Conference in the Grenadines face to face this year. That's
amen.
All I want to say.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are speaking over our regions.
Yes, oh, over yes. this region. In Jesus' name. That's
amen.
Where we will be.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you so
amen.
Much amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless everyone.
The good work.
Thank you, Shimona. Thank you. To God be the glory. Thank
God
you.
Bless.
God bless you.
God bless yes, everyone. Amen.
God
amen.
Bless all of you.
Yes, thank you. Sis. Blessings, everyone. Have a blessed evening.
Same thank to you. You.
Thank you.
Thanks, and likewise.
Bye. Everyone have a blessed